Today's shir is Masecht Bav Metzia, Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin in Daf Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Hamafker Chavas Eitzel Chavero, if somebody leaves a barrel by a shomer, for Layichtalim Balam Mokim, and the owner did not designate a specific spot where he wants that barrel kept. The Tiltala, and then the shomer removed the barrel, Nishtabra, and it broke. And as the Rishonim point out, even if there was an oinus, it was an accident that it broke, in the Toich Yodoy Nishbra, if it broke while he's carrying it, and he was carrying it the Tzor Choy for his own benefit, then he'll be Chayiv for the loss. And the Mefarshim point out that included in something being moved for the owner's benefit is that the barrel was being moved because the owner needs the spot where the barrel was on till now, and now he needs that spot for his own use to put something else there. That's called a tzar choy. If, however, the barrel was moved, the tzar choy, for the benefit of the barrel, it's in the sun, or it could get damaged, then he's potter. However, says the Mishnah, if after the shomer put the barrel down, it broke, then it makes no difference why it was moved, whether bein l'tzar choy, bein l'tzar choy, for the shomer's benefit or for the benefit of the barrel, potter, he will be potter. However, continues the Braisa, the Mishnah, yichloi ba'alim makam, if the owner designated a spot in the shomer's home where this barrel should be kept, the tiltala v'nishbra, and he moved the barrel and it broke, there halach is bein mitach yado imay mishenichai, whether it broke while it's in his hand or whether it broke after he put it down. If he moved it l'tzar choy for the benefit of the barrel, he will be chayiv. If he moved it for his own benefit, he'll be chayiv. If he moved it l'tzar choy for the benefit of the barrel, he'll be potter. And the Gemara will explain at great length how we understand the dinim of this Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Hamani, who was the Tan of our Mishnah? And as the Sheet of Mekubetz explains, why is our Gemara so anxious to know who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to find, at least Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, that our Mishnah, the Reish and the Sefer, represent different opinions, and therefore that leads up to the question which will be a big focus of our Shia today. So the Gemara says, it seems that the Tana of our Mishnah is the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel Hi, the Omer, Loi Bin and Das Balam. As we learned in Masechta Bava Kama, if somebody steals something from someone else and he returns it, does he have to make the owner aware that he's returning it? Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is you don't have to make him aware. The Tanya, Hagon of Telemina Eder, if somebody steals a sheep from the flock, or sell him in a kiss, a coin from the wallet, a makam shagan of yachas to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, as long as you return it, you're no longer a ganif. But Kiva disagrees, he says tzarech das balam. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, as soon as the shomer, at least in understanding the ratio, as soon as the shomer puts down the item in a safe spot, he's no longer a ganif and he's fine. Kiva says no, and therefore just putting it down in a safe spot won't make a difference. What is the basis, as we learned in Masecht Bava Kama, for Kiva's opinion that just the ganav putting it back into a safe spot is not enough? So the Gemara, the Rishonim, and Masecht Bava Kama give two explanations. Most Rishonim, the Gemara uses the words. We just need to understand what the Gemara means. The Gemara uses, in understanding of Akiva's opinion, the words kol shelo shmira, that as soon as the shomer becomes a ganef, because he picks up this item for his own benefit, kol shelo shmira, he's no longer a shomer. And therefore, if he's no longer a shomer, he has to return it to the owner. He can't just put it down wherever he wants. A little deeper,
The Rif explains, not only does he have to return it and make the owner aware that he's returning it, otherwise he remains a ganef, he has to return it to the owner's home. And other, anything less, he remains a ganef. Ask the Gemara, and this is what the Mashal explains the Gemara's question. If our Mishnah is, at least the Reish at this point, is following the opinion of Yishmael, which means as follows. Let's think about it. If somebody's to be considered a ganef, who would you consider a bigger ganef? Would you consider a person who picked something up from a designated area a ganef, a bigger ganef? Or would you consider a person who picked something up from a spot that's not designated? Obviously, you would say, picking it up from a designated spot, where this is supposed to be here, and I take it away from there, is a bigger ganef. So ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is speaking that he's a ganef, why is the Reish, which is what we're explaining now, speaking about a situation, that the object didn't have a spot, should tell us a bigger chiddush, that even and the person, the shomer, is certainly a ganef, as soon as he puts it down, he's fine. Answers the Gemara, lo mi bai kama. The way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Lo mi bai yichtai to bekama hu. You could argue the other way. That if the person who stole an item puts it back in its right place because it has a right place, so certainly the person is no longer a ganef. He put it back in the right place. But maybe, elafil lo yichtai. Let's say he puts it back in a spot, but it's not a spot that's specifically designated where this item belongs. The lab mekaymahu, and therefore it's not its spot. And maybe therefore even Rabbi Shmuel will agree. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel will agree that you don't, that it's not considered you brought it back, because there is no space to bring it back to. Kamash Malan Labin and Das Balam. As long as you put it down in a safe spot, you're fine. So again, what is the Reish teaching us? That even though you're a ganef, by picking it up for your own benefit, if you put it down in a safe spot, makes no difference if it's a designated safe spot, as long as you put it back in a good place, you're no longer a ganef. That's the Reish. Let's continue the Sefer. Aim a Sefer, let's learn the Sefer now. The Sefer spoke about a din of Yichtalei Balam Mokim, if the owner designated a spot, the tilt of a Nishbara, and then he moves it and it breaks. It makes no difference when it broke, while it was in the shomer's hand, or after he put it down. If he picked it up, if he picked it up for his own benefit, he's chayef. Why? Or if he picked it up for the benefit of the item, then it'll be potter. Which, says the Gemara, seems to follow the opinion of Akiva. Once the shomer picked it up for the shomer's benefit, he becomes a ganef. And the only way he loses the status of being a ganef is by letting the owner know. He didn't let the owner know. So putting it back, he's still a ganef, and he's still responsible. Ask the Gemara again with the Mashal's explanation. If we're explaining that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, why do we say that the Mishnah is referring to a case that he's a ganef? And he's responsible to be a ganef, even when he took it from a spot that's designated, even when he took it from a spot that's not designated. We should tell us a chiddush that he remains a ganef. Answers the Gemara, lami bai kama. Lami bai lo yichta lav mekaymahu. Certainly in a case where he doesn't designate a place, so you can't have a complaint where he puts it down. Ela filo yichta nami. Even if you put it back in a spot which the owner wants you to put it there, so maybe the Kiva will agree the Mekaymahu, now that is considered the right spot, being in Das Balam. You have to have the owner's knowledge, and even though you put it where the owner wanted it, it wouldn't make a difference. So in other words, according to Rekiva, you always have to have Das Balam, and according to Rishmal, you never need Das Balam. The fact that a space was designated or not doesn't make an issue. Ask Taisus a Gevaldige Kasha. Let's just learn the next words of the Gemara to make the Kashi even Geshmaka. Reisha Vishmol Vasefer B'Kiva. So the way we just explained the Mishnah, the Reisha that says as soon as you put it back in a safe spot, you're no longer a ganef, represents a Vishmol's opinion. You don't have to tell the owner.
The Sefer represents Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Isn't that a problem? So it's more in. That's the way our Mishnah seems to be to learn. Because, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, Mandav and Tagim Chavas Leva the Chat Tana, if somebody could be successful enough to explain this Mishnah, that it isn't limited, that the Reisha and the Sefer don't represent two different opinions, Mevilna Ma'ane Basrela Bei Masusa. I'll carry his clothing to the bathhouse. I would love to find the person who could do it for me. So first we'll say, God, the demo say, Halacha. Why's Pshat that he said that I'll carry his clothing to the bathhouse? So as the Mefarshim explained, one of the things that an Eved is supposed to do on behalf of his owner, an Eved Kanani, is carry his clothing. A person, said Rabbi Yochanan, who could explain the Gemara, the Mishnah to me, that it could be consistent with one opinion, I am so prepared to become his Talmud that I'll do anything for him. And as the Paddish Yosef goes on to explain, even though the Gemara says that an Eved Kanani should carry the clothing of his owner, not an Eved Ivri, because people may come to believe that this person's not a Jew, he's not an Eved Ivri, he's really an Eved Kanani. Says the Paradis Yosef, that's when you have a person who's an Eved, and not everybody knows who he is. So if we're going to see him carrying his owner's clothing to the bathhouse, people will believe that he may be an Eved Kanani, and his Yichus will come into question. Rabbi Yochanan, everybody knows who's Rabbi Yochanan. So we don't have to worry that anybody's going to be concerned that Rabbi Yochanan's a guy. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan said, since nobody has to, I don't have to worry that anybody's going to accuse me of being a guy, I am so prepared to become a subservient to the person who is able to explain this Mishnah properly, according to one opinion, that I'll carry his clothing to the bathhouse. Why was Rabbi Yochanan saying this? So Mefarshim say, a key to success in learning, a key to success in learning is that the Talmud has to be mevatel himself. He has to be ready to accept from his Rebbe. How do we show that we're ready to accept that this person is greater than I am? By doing anything on his behalf, even carrying his clothing to the bathhouse. Because as the Mefarshim go on to explain, we know the Gemara says, Gadol Shimushai Yosem Limudai. Servicing your Rebbe is crucial to learning from your Rebbe. So we have a problem. What's the problem? We have machloikas of Akiva and Bishmal. And according to Akiva, we're learning now that you always have to let the owner know. And according to Bishmal, you never have to let the owner know. Ask Taisus, he has a way of resolving who says that Bishmal speaking even in a case of Yichtalai Makam. Maybe in a case where the owner designated a spot, Rabbi Shmuel will agree that you have to put it there, and if not, you're a ganef. And Rabbi Akiva will agree that lo yichtaloi makom, that if you didn't designate a spot, then just putting it back there is good enough. And we have no machloikis. So the Ritva says a very nice pshat. The Ritva says, what did we explain? We quoted a Gemara Masechta B'Kama. Is the basis of Rekiva's explanation. Because Rekiva says, kos lo shmira. If I steal something from you, I'm a shomer on your behalf, and I steal something, kos lo shmira, you don't want me as a shomer anymore. And therefore, now that I'm no longer a shomer, and now I'm a ganef, as I said before, and the only way to lose that status of being a ganef is by letting the owner know that I returned the item. So it doesn't make a difference if yachtalei makam, lo yachtalei makam. The issue of kos lo shmira always is there, which is the basis of Akiva's explanation. So to make a distinction, according to Akiva, between yachtalei makam and lo yachtalei makam, doesn't make sense. That's the Ritva's pshat. The Taisus has a nice pshat. Taisus says, if we go back to the beginning of the Gemara, when the Gemara wanted the Gemara quoted a Braisa from Sechtum Bakama, that says that the case of where we have the machloikis, the cases, where we have the machloikis with Kivir Shmuel, the Gemara mentioned two cases. One case was when somebody stole an animal from a flock, and the other case was when somebody stole money from a wallet. Why do we have to have a shomer? Why do we have to have both cases? Says Taisus, it's very specific. It's very intentional. Money from a wallet is a case where the place is a designated spot. The money is supposed to be in the wallet. The money is not supposed to be floating around.
An animal doesn't have a specific spot. It walks around. Why does the Brisa mention both of these cases specifically? To show us the Bishmael's opinion that you don't need Das Palim is whether it's Yichtalei Makam or Lo Yichtalei Makam. And Rekiva's opinion is under all circumstances whether Yichtalei Makam or Lo Yichtalei Makam. And that's why the Brisa intentionally mentioned both of these cases to represent both types of situations. The Shach says, very interesting, he says it to the Sma. He says that the Sma says that according to Rabbi Kiva, the halacha, that be'inan das palim, that if a shomer takes an item and keeps it for himself, be'inan das palim, you have to notify the owner when you return it, is only when the shomer stole it in front of Edom. But if the shomer didn't steal it in front of Edom, Rabbi Kiva will agree that lo be'inan das palim, you don't have to notify the owner. Says the Shach, I'll prove to you that the Sma is wrong. Because our Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan just said, that we have no way of making the Mishnah consistent. If we're going to say that Rabbi Kiva is going to agree that when there are no Edom, you don't need Das Palim, so we could say the Reish is going when there were no Edom, and the Seif is where there were Edom, and the whole Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The fact that our Gemara didn't give that Teretz is a proof that the Sma is incorrect, says the Shach. Says the Gemara. So the Ramshif helps us focus on the Gemara. He says like this. He says, what the Gemara actually is going to do now is going to bring three different opinions on how to understand the Sefer. He says, these are Amorim that offer these explanations in explaining the Sefer of the Mishnah didn't do it to answer Rabbi Yochanan's question. They did it because they were trying to learn Pshat in a Mishnah. But what happens as a result of their explanations, the question that Rabbi Yochanan posed is resolved. And now let's try to understand what these Amorim said. Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba Kamei de Rav said, Shenot lam nas legozloi. Tigma Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba Kamei de Rav, that the Seif is referring to a situation, Shenot lam nas legozloi, where somebody is a gazlan, the shomer intended to steal it. Tirmer of Nos number Abba Kamei de Rav, Shnot Lamanas L'Shloich Bayad. That it's not a situation of Gzela, but it's a situation of Shlichas Yad. And let's stop for a moment to speak, because this becomes a very important topic of today's shir. The Torah, actually twice, both by Hashem Chinam and Hashem Sacher, speaks about a shomer being shaleach yad. We always define shlich yad as misappropriation. Says Reb Nosson that our Mishnah in the Seif is referring to a situation where the shomer was shaleach yad. That's the situation. Ask the Mefarshim, Rishonim, on the Amid, what is the difference between shlich yad and gzela? What's the difference? So Tysus' approach, I like to usually mention Rashi before Tysus, here I'll mention Tysus first, says there really is no fundamental difference. So what is Shlichus Yad? Tysus says that Shlichus Yad, we would perhaps think that a Shomer can't be a Gazlan, because the Shomer is really an extension of the owner. If you ask me to watch something on your behalf, so now I'm the owner of the item for the duration of my Shmira. The Torah says Tysus is mechadish in the parasha of Shlichus Yad, that even though you're a shomer, but if you intended to use it for your own use, you're considered shaleich yad, which is a form of gzeil. That's how Tysus learns. Rashi says differently. Rashi says there's a very big difference between Shlichus Yad and gzeila, a halachic difference. He says as follows. If somebody steals an item, but he only intends to keep part of it, so the gzeila is on what you intended to keep. And what you didn't intend to keep, there's no gzeila. Says Shlichus Yad, that if somebody intended to misappropriate, if a shomer intended to misappropriate even part of an item that he is the shomer of, he becomes responsible for the entire item. And that's the chiddush of Shlichus Yad, and our Mishnah is referring to Shlichus Yad. The Mishnah go on to explain, there is really
as far as our Mishnah is concerned, no difference halachically between Shlichus Yad and Gzeilus. So why do they take different approaches? So the Mefarshim say that the reason Reb Nosson preferred to teach us that the Mishnah is talking about Shlichus Yad over Gzeilus is a number of reasons. Number one, most Jews have a Cheskas Kashrus. So Gazlin is worse than Shlichus Yad, and we don't want to use the word Gazlin if we could just say Shlichus Yad. I don't really understand it, because Shlichus Yad is also an Aveira. Another pshat is the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the words V'tiltala. If the Mishnah meant the V'gozla, he should have used the word V'gozla. Another pshat, a simple pshat, especially as we're learning, especially according to Tosfos, that there is no fundamental halachic difference between Shlichus Yad and Gzeila. The Mishnah wants to teach us the halachas of Shlichus Yad, and that's why the Mishnah speaks about Shlichus Yad. But my kemiflgi, why doesn't the first man domer, as we just gave so many good reasons, why the Mishnah should prefer to be speaking about Shlichus Yad of Gzeila? Why didn't Rabbi Yaakov agree that that is the situation that our Mishnah is referring to? Because they're arguing, as we will get into the shir, over a different concept. B'shlichus Yad tzrich chsar. If a shomer was shaleich yad in an item that he is watching, but he didn't cause any loss to the item by misappropriating it, will that be considered shlichus yad or not? The man that says that Amish is referring to a situation of gzela, he holds shlichus yad tzrich chsar. And since there was no chsar, there was no loss on the item that I picked, that the shomer picked up and put down, it can't be referring to shlichus yad. So it must be gzela, because gzela you could have even without creating a loss to the item. Uman da Omer, however, the opinion that holds l'shloich bayat, that there was shlichus yad here, holds k'sav shlichus yad and it's richsaron. Even if you didn't do any loss to the item, it's still considered shlichus yad, and therefore he, as he prefers, says that the Mishnah is referring to a situation of shlichus yad. Maskula Rav Sheshes asked Rav Sheshes on both of these opinions, whether you'll say that the Mishnah is referring to a situation of gzela, or you'll say that the Mishnah is referring to a situation of shlichus yad, midin not l'ktani. Shlichus yad gzela means that I took it for myself. The Mishnah doesn't speak about taking it for himself. The Mishnah says took l'ktani. He just moved it. And therefore, he says, our Mishnah is talking about a different situation altogether. El Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachem Ma'iskinen, Kigon Shetotla Lahavel Gzeilus. He was a shomer of this item. And all of a sudden he says, you know, this person left this box by me, and I want to bring down something from the ceiling. I want to catch the birds that are by the ceiling. I don't have a step stool, so I'm going to use your box as a step stool. The Shoyl Shleimadas. And his opinion is, Shoyl Shleimadas Gazlan Havim. So now, we have three applications of our Mishnah. Three ways of understanding the safe of our Mishnah. Either it's Gzela, or it's Shlichus Yad, or it's Shoyl Shleimadas, which according to Rav Sheshes has the status of a Gazlan. Now, says the Gemara, we have a way of understanding that the safe of the Mishnah even follows the opinion of Yishmael. The Kula of Yishmael he. The safer, Shanicha of Makam Shana Makaima. The safer is referring to a situation where the person was essentially a Gazlan. And yes, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that you have to, that you don't have to have Das Balim, even if you put it back, you're no longer a Gazlan. But when is that acceptable? Only if you didn't put it back, only if you put it back in the right place. But let's say you put it back in a place different than what the owner wants you to put it back, you remain a Gazlan. Even if you don't normally need Das Balim. And that's why in the Sefer, Bishmo will agree that the Shomer who didn't put it back in the designated spot remains a Gazlan. So it's such a simple answer. How we could follow the Mishnah completely according to Bishmo. What was Rabbi Yochanan's problem? Rabbi Yochanan, Hanichim Kaim Mashma. Rabbi Yochanan says that to say that the Sefer is referring to specifically in a spot, that he didn't put it back in the right spot, doesn't make any sense. And therefore, he doesn't want to accept Rabbi Shmuel's that explanation in the Mishnah, and he had a problem how to reconcile the Reish and the Sefer. And the Rishash explains Rabbi Yochanan's opinion a little better. Because just because he doesn't like to say that, why does he want to do this? It's such a simple way of explaining the Mishnah. He's saying because according to the explanation that we're giving in our Mishnah, the Reish and the Sefer are not talking about the same circumstance. In the Reish, wherever you put it back, is fine, because there is no designated spot. In the Sefer, there is a designated spot, and therefore anything less than that is not good. He doesn't feel comfortable the Reish being and Sefer being such different circumstances, and he prefers to have a Kasha. Itma. So we go into the sugya of Shlichus Yad. Rav Levi. Charama Shlichus Yad Shlichus Sarin. To be considered Shlichus Yad, you have to cause a loss to the item. Even if you didn't do any loss to the item, it's considered Shlichus Yad. Although, the Ritva says, interesting Ritva, who says that even if we learn that Shlichus Yad Einat Shlichus Chesaron doesn't mean that you don't have to want to create a loss. It means that you didn't make a loss, but you had to want to create a loss. If you didn't even have an intent to create a loss, even this Ma'an Dama will agree that it's not Shlichus Yad. Why does Shlichus Yad Shlichus Chesaron? The first opinion. So I saw two explanations in the Achroinim. One explanation in the Achroinim is it's a technical explanation. There are parameters of what is and what isn't Shlichus Yad. And this Man the Omer holds that if there is no loss, then it's not Shlichus Yad. The other Man the Omer says, and goes back to what we, the other Mefarshim say, it goes back to what we said before. Shlichus Yad is a form of Gzela. If I'm a shomer of your item, and like Tosfos taught us, I'm really an extension of the owner, and I didn't create, and I didn't do any loss, and then I changed my mind that I'm not going to do any loss, so I didn't do anything. And that's why I'm not considered a shaleich yad, unless I did damage, loss to the item. So Gemara again says, this concept of shaleich yad, are you a shaleich yad or not, do you have to create loss as a machlokes Rav and Levi? But we don't know who holds what. Suggests the Gemara. Testayim, the Rav who the Omer Shlichus Yad Einat Tzrich Chesar. The Rav is the man Omer that holds that Shlichus Yad is not require a Chesar. The Tanya. Roya Shoy Roya Edroy. V'niach Edroy. If somebody was watching somebody else's animals. V'niach Edroy Bala'ir. And he left his flock and went to the city. And as the Rishonim explain, he's not considered a posheya. Why? By just leaving his flock. For two explanations I saw in the Rishonim. One explanation is because it was common to leave the animals by themselves. So he didn't do anything wrong if he followed the normal custom. Another pshat is, there was, as we'll see in a moment, there was an animal coming to attack. The roya is not obligated to be mice and nefesh for the animals. So he ran away. So Raya Shay Raya Edra Vanich Edra Balir. Uvozev Taraf Ubari Vitaras. And then while these animals were left alone, a wolf or a lion devoured these animals. And the Mefarshim point out, the Rishonim point this out already, why does Bayzev it say Taraf and Bayri it says Doras? So they say two explanations. There's difference how a wolf attacks versus how a lion attacks. A wolf attacks, it schleps the animal to where it places, and there it eats the animal, it devours the animal. The lion does it on the spot. Another nafgamina is that the wolf first kills its victim and then devours him. The ari doesn't wait to kill him, he just eats him as it is. Continues the braisa, however. Haniach makla v'tamila eleha. If the shepherd had first put on top of the animal his stick or his clothing, then he's chayif. The vinimba, and the obvious question is, mishim daniach makla v'tavila aleha, because the shepherd did this chayif, that makes him responsible. Hashaklinu, haniach seems to mean that he put it on and took it off. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Rav ba'odin aleha. It's not that he took it off. The braisa refers to a situation where the shepherd's personal items are left on the animal. Ask the Gemara,
So he left them on. What does that change? We know that for somebody to become responsible for an item, he has to do a kinyan in the item. By a shepherd putting his personal things on the animal, that doesn't make a kinyan. Hamay Mashcha, he didn't make a kinyan. So why is he responsible? He did a kinyan, that he hit the animal and the animal ran. Ask the Gemara, so good. So we have a kinyan. The kinyan is a kisha b'makel, that he hit the animal and the animal ran. And that's why we have a kinyan. But where's the shlichus yad? V'lechosro. He didn't create a situation that the animal is a loss. So why is he shleich yad? From here we must see the kesavar, the Rav is of the opinion that to be a shaleich yad, shlich yad, ain't a tzrich chesaron. Says, well, no, that's not the way to understand the brisa. Ema shekisha b'mako, he gave it such a strong zetz that it got affected. Dekanami diktani shekisha b'mako. Shekisha b'mako means, why do you have to say b'mako? Why do you have to say a stick? You could have said that he gave it a zetz. Why do you have to say b'mako? Mako means that it's a permanent damage, and therefore there's a loss here. So on the contrary, very interesting what happens. The Gemara wanted to assume that Rav holds a tshlichas yad and a tshlichas chesaron. But actually now we've proven that Rav holds tshlichas yad, tshlichas chesaron. Why? Because he gave it such a strong clap that it got damaged. So there's two things that the Rishonim, I want to mention from the Rishonim. One point that the Rishonim mentioned is that if the Shalichas Yad was created by him hitting the animal, so why do we have to say, why did Rabbi also have to say that he put his personal things on it? Just giving the clap should make the Shalichas Yad. So Mefarshim say, giving the animal a clap doesn't show that he really intended to take it for himself. The kinyan of a kish of a makel only is proven to be a kinyan because he acted on that kinyan by using the animal for his own purpose of leaving the things on the animal. Rashi asks, why are we saying that it's a shaleich yad? Maybe he's considered a shoel shleimidas. We just learned before that if you leave an item by me, and I go and I use it for myself, I'm a shoel shleimidas. So how are we using this braisa to speak about shlichus yad? This may be a case of shoel shleimidas. There's no nafgamina other than our trying to understand the din of shlichus yad. So Rashi says a chiddush. Many Rishonim are very bothered with Rashi. Rashi says a chiddush that there's no such a concept, there is no concept of shleimidas by animals. Shal Shal Midas is only applicable by objects, not by animals. Rashi's a big chiddush. Others say that to be considered Shal Shal Midas, you have to do something very significant. That means, if you left an item by me, and I go and I use your item without permission, to be considered a Shal Shal Midas, I had to use your item for a very significant purpose. Just using the animal to put his coat on it, that doesn't turn him into being a shoel shleimidas, but it does turn him into being a shaleich yad. Nice vort from the Tzar Shloimeh, a drush vort. Not negated to the Peshat and the Gemara, but it's a nice vort to repeat. He says as this, there are two ways of creating a kinyan. Our Gemara was troubled. How do we do a kinyan on an animal? He says there are two ways of doing a kinyan on an animal. One is the way Al Gemara just described. Hikisha b'maka, you give it a gzetz and it runs. And the other way is karalavi hiba. If you call the animal and it comes towards you. Obviously, karalavi hiba is a lot less painful than hikisha b'maka. Says the Tfarah Shleima. Yaakov Avinu says to the Shvatim, Hasu v'gidulchem mash yikra eschem b'yachris hayomim. Achras Yom means when Mashiach is going to come. Says the Torah Shalom, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? When Mashiach comes, we're going to become HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew his kinyan in Klal Yisrael.
We just described the two ways of doing kinyan. Hikisha v'makel, the hard way, or kar l'vibo. So Yaakov Avinu gave Klal Yisrael a bracha, sheyikra eschem. You know how I bless you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should renew his kinyan in Klal Yisrael? Sheyikra, that I'll call you. Kar l'vibo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will draw us closer with love, rather than a kishav amaka, that Klai already suffered enough tzaras. We don't need to suffer more tzaras to get closer to Hashem. So says the Gemara, umid Rav, we have now proven that it's Rav opinion, umid Rav sav shlich yad shvich chasarin, that we consider shlich yad, you have to cause a loss to the object. Levi, who's the other opinion, obviously holds shlich yad ain't shvich chasarin. Ask the Gemara, my Tam de Levi. Where does Levi take this opinion from? Answers the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosef ben Aroy, Mishuna Shlichas Yad HaOmer B'Shleim V'Sachar, Mishlichas Yad HaOmer B'Shleim V'Chinam. There's a difference between the Shlichas Yad HaB'Shleim V'Sachar. The Torah speaks, as I said earlier in the Shir, about Shlichas Yad B'Shleim V'Sachar. The Torah speaks about Shlichas Yad, about, the Torah speaks about Shlichas Yad B'Shleim V'Chinam. So let's first explain the opinion of old Mishunah, says the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Long time Shlichas Yad B'Shem Asachar. There is no reason for the Torah to say Shlichas Yad B'Shem Asachar. V'Teisi M'Shem Echinim. We should learn the concept of Shlichas Yad B'Shem Asachar with a Kavachaymer from Shem Echinim. Uma Shem Echinim. For if a Shem Echinim. That's part of the Gneva Aveda. We know Shem Echinim is part of the Gneva Aveda. Still, there's a concept. That if Sholech Boyad, he's Chayiv. That if Shem Socher, who's certainly Chay, who's more stringent, that is Chayiv in Gneva Aveda, like Koshkein, that Shlichas Yad should be applicable to Shem Socher. So Lamai Hilchas a Kasvin Rechmana. What did Torah have to teach us that Shlichas Yad is possible, it applies to a Shem Socher, to teach us a chiddush, the shlichas yad and a tzricha chasarim. That's why the Torah mentioned shlichas yad by Shem Asachar. And then Tosfos goes on to explain, now that the Torah has taught us that shlichas yad applies by Shem Asachar, then we know that shlichas yad is shlichas yad, it's all the same. So even by Shem Echinam, shlichas yad is shlichas yad, even if you didn't create any loss to the animal, to the object. Vani Omer says, he says, Ein Mishunah. There is no difference. A very good argument was made why we have a proof that Shlichas Yad Ein Tzricha Chasarin, because I could follow Rabbi Lez's opinion. Dama Davida Achasi. I need a pasuk both by Shem Echinim and by Shem Asachar. That's what Davida Achas means. My Davida Achas, what does that mean? Shem Deikla Mifrach. What was the whole basis of the Kavachoymer? Well, we said that the Torah mentioning Shlichas Yad by Shem Asachar seems to be superfluous. If I know by Shem Echinim the Shlichas Yad, certainly by Shem Asachar the Shlichas Yad, because they could argue, V'kshim de'ikla mifrach, ma'al Shem Echinim, she'kei mishon t'shlum ekeifel, b'tayin t'aniskanas. We spoke about this so many times already. If a Shem Echinim comes and I left something by Shem Echinim, and then I come to get my object, I asked him, where's my object? He said, it was stolen. So Shem Echinim, we just said, is part of Gneva Aveda. Then what happens if the Shem Echinim, that's called Toyein Tanis Ganif. We went to some Sechta Baba Kama. And then the Shem Echinim turns out to have lied. We bring witnesses that he actually stole it himself. What will be the din? He'll have to pay kefil, like every Ganif. But Toyein Tanis Ganif. What about a Shem Asachar? Shem Asachar never pays kefil. Because let's say I come to the Shem Asachar to pick up my item. The Shem Asachar says it was stolen. What will be the din? He's responsible anyway. So what are we saying, says the Gemara, that Shem Echinim is more lenient than Shem Asachar? And therefore, if by Shem Echinim there's a din of Shlichas Yad, certainly the Shlichas Yad by Shem Asachar, that's not true. It could well be that Shem Echinim is more stringent than a Shem Asachar. And as Tosfos explains, each has a stringency and each has a leniency, and that's why I need a pasuk by both, and neither pasuk is extra. Amanda Loi Parach,
and the other man Dama holds, so a cannibal is shvua, a difa mekveil b'shvua. Yes, yes. A shaymas sachar never pays kefil. A shaymas chinam may pay kefil. But let's think about it. What would you rather get? Karen every time or kefil sometimes? I'd rather go with something that's guaranteed. And therefore, it could well be that Shem Sachar is more stringent than Shem Chinam. And therefore, again, what do I need a pasuk by Shem Chinam? What do I need a pasuk by Shem Sachar? If the Torah teaches us already Shem Chinam has Shlichus Yad, that's why it must be to teach us that Shlichus Yad ain't a Tzricha Chassar. Says Rav, Lo Yitam Shlichus Yad, Lo Yitam Shem Chinam, Lo Yitam Shem Sachar. The Torah shouldn't have said Shlichus Yad by either of them. But Tais Mishael, why can't we learn the din of Shlichus Yad from a Shoyal? Or Mashael, the Labas Balam Kovid. If a Shoyal, who has every right to use this item, still, Shoyal Bayad, if he does Shlichus Yad, if he misappropriates the item, he's Chayiv, Shoyal Mechinev, Shoyal Mesocher, Lekoshkein, that there's a din of Shlichus Yad, Lomanemer. So why did the Torah have to speak about Shlichus Yad? Both by Shem Chinam and by Shem Sachar, it must be Chod Loy Malach to teach us the din the Shlichus Yad ain't a Tzricha Chasarin for Eidach Shloy Timer Dai Lovim in a Din Liz Kenidah. We know throughout Halacha that if we learn a Kavachaymer, then the student cannot be different than the teacher. And if we're learning the Halacha by Shem Chinam and Shem Sachar from Shoyal, there's a special leniency that applies by Shoyal. My Shoyal, the halacha is that even though Shoyal is chayiv on certainly Pshi and Geneva Aved and even Einsim, but there's a special dispensation, a ball of Imai, if the owner is with him. My Shoyal Balam, the Balam, if Balam is Imai is Potter, I would say perhaps that a Shem Echinim, a Shem Esocher, the Balam, if Balam is Imai, he's Potter. That's why I need a second pasuk to teach us that the special rule of Bol of Imoy is only by Shoyal, not by Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar. So what we're up to now is as follows. Just let's get the first version here. We really know the din of Shlichus Yad from Shoyal. So now we have the din of Shlichus Yad that the Torah mentions by Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar being extra. We want to teach us the din of Shoyal, Shem Echinim, that the Shlichus Yad ain't a Tzricha Chasarin. And want to teach us that the special rule of Ball of Imai by Shoyal is only by Shoyal and not by Shem Echinim and not by Shem Esachar. Ask the Gemara, this fits perfectly according to the opinion that Shlich Yad ain't a Tzrich Chesaron, that you consider the Shalech Yad even if you didn't create a loss. However, ask the Gemara, Ulamandam Shlich Yad Tzrich Chesaron, that you're only Shalech Yad if indeed you created, caused a loss to the item. So then we're back to where we started. The basic din of Shlichus Yad, I can learn from Shoyal. So the extra times that the Torah mentions Shlichus Yad, both by a Shoyal, both by a Shem Echinim and by a Shem Esachar, why do I need the Torah to teach it to us? Tat is Shlichus Yad, by Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar, Lamali. One is to teach us, Shalai Tamadai, Lavam and Adin, Lias Kanida, to teach us that just like, that I shouldn't say the dispensation of Bol of Imai applies to Shem Echinim and Shem Esachar, the Idach, and the other extra mention of Shlichus Yad, is to teach us the following din. K'tanya, v'nikra balabayis el alakim, l'shvua. That a person is not considered that he stole it unless he swore falsely. Again, if I'm a Shomer, and you come and tell me, where's my item? And I say it was stolen. I'm not considered a ganif unless I swear falsely. At the omer l'shvua or en el ledin, maybe it just means if you say so to Bezdin without a shvua, it's already considered that you're a ganif. Says the Gemara, nem shlichus yad lemata, the nem shlichus yad lemala. The Torah says by Shem Sochor, the word shvus Hashem tir ben shneim im leishalach, and the Torah says by Shem Chinam, the nikkur balabayis alakim im leishalach, mala halon, just like by Shem Esachar, im means with a shvur, as kan with shvur. So we needed to teach us that by Shem Chinam, you're not considered a ganif unless you swore falsely. Just claiming that it was stolen without a shvur doesn't make you into a ganif. So now the Rishayim ask, and the other opinion that used the two shlichus yad,
want to teach us that you don't have dispensation of Baal of Imoy, and want to teach us the din that Shlich Siyad and its Tzricha Chesaron, where will he know this rule that Shlich Siyad, that you're not a ganav unless you swore? Where will he know that din? He doesn't have an extra pasuk for it. So the Mefarshim say he's going to learn it from Shem Socher without a Gzeir Shava. What does that mean? Because he's going to say that the Torah, whenever it uses the words V'nikra V'albayis Elokim, it's not a Gzeir Shava. It's a Taich. The Taich, the definition of the words V'nikra V'albayis Elokim Im Lo Sholoch Yodav V'Melechus Re'eyu means with a Shvua. So I saw a beautiful word. There's a very famous Taifas. There's a Stira. In one place, the Gemara says that the first question a person is asked when he comes to the Olam Emes is Kavati to Mutayra. Did you learn? Another Gemara says the first question we ask is Nasata v'Nasata b'Muna. Were you honest? So Taifas asks, how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? One answer, it makes a difference. A businessman is asked first Nasata v'Nasata b'Muna. Talmud Chacham didn't do business. So he's first asked about learning. Another pshat is, what's the purpose of our learning? When we learn Masechta Bava Metzia, the Zikim Masechtas, it's very appropriate to teach us how to live properly, honestly. So he said, that's pshat in the Pasuk. V'nikra Baal Bayis Elokim. When we come to the Olam Emes, we're going to approach God. And God's going to ask us, do we learn? You know why God's going to ask us that we learn? Because if we didn't learn, we don't know how to act appropriately. You're going to end up having cheated somebody else. Another pshat. The other pshat is, the nikr bal bayis lakim. God's going to ask us, if we're a businessman, what kind of businessman were you? Were you honest or dishonest?